All right, so happy to be here. So, as Elizabeth said, my name is Danielle Williams, and I'm with Connect. And at Connect, we work with our faith communities to prevent domestic violence through education and awareness, and through changing attitudes and beliefs that contribute to violence in our communities. So, it's such a pleasure for me to be here with you today. So today I'll be speaking on survivorship, faith in the midst, and the aftermath of intimate partner violence. So there are a few stories that speak to this in the Bible, and I've had the pleasure of sharing those stories with you previously. The texts of terror, right? But today, these texts were not sufficient to speak to the heart of the matter of what I wanted to share. And it's like that sometimes. Sometimes our sacred texts, often ancient from another time, another context, another culture, yet still full of wisdom, but don't always capture the entirety of our experiences today. So I'm pulling from a sacred text, a sacred story, a movie, and a movie remake in the African American canon. I'll be speaking from The Color Purple, written by Alice Walker. Dear God, this is how a young girl named Celie cries out to her God, the God that doesn't answer, the God that doesn't show himself, the God that doesn't speak, the God that did nothing to stop the inhumane violation she experienced throughout her life. Dear God, Celie cried out as she described sexual violation and being impregnated by her stepfather twice. He took the babies and she had no idea what he did with them, but he assured her, "You better not tell anyone but God." Dear God, Celie cried out as her mother died and her stepfather married her out to a man named Mr. Celie was called ugly, seen as used goods, and being seen as a house worker. Her sister and her best friend, Nettie, was her core source of support and companionship. Nettie was her comfort and also a respite from a loveless marriage. As the wife of Mr., Celie finds herself in a life of bondage, raising his unruly kids, keeping his home, and practically being his servant as she endured relentless physical and verbal abuse she could not escape, as she had no means to survive. Dear God, Celie cries out as Mr. separates her from Nettie, Celie's core support. After a failed attempt to have his way with Nettie, Celie is isolated, economically dependent on Mr., and continues to survive his abuse. Dear God, she cried out. As she continues to cry out to this God that she sees as male and white, this God doesn't hear her, nor does this God speak to her. I connect. We know that faith is important and pivotal for survivors of domestic violence. We know that on the first places, one of the first places that they go to for support is their faith communities. But also, one's faith can be impacted in many ways while experiencing and surviving and healing from domestic violence. When it comes to intimate partner violence, there are many ways survivors can respond in a spiritual way. Sometimes it's self-blame. Sometimes it's the belief in the struggle. Is God angry with me? Did I do something wrong? Sometimes survivors lose faith. Sometimes, as they're enduring the violence and they find their rituals no longer work. Sometimes survivors will grow faith and will go even deeper in their faith, It's a variety of ways in which survivors respond to domestic violence spiritually. And then our theology plays a role as well. I can only imagine the messages that Celie received from her faith tradition. This is of another time, right? We're talking about the early 1900s. We're talking about maybe 20 or so years out from slavery. So what are the messages that she's getting from slave religion? Themes of being born in sin, dirty, on top of experiencing the violation that she went through. Some of these teachings about women who must submit to their husbands, who were created to merely be a helpmeet to man. Teachings around the need to sacrifice oneself for the greater good. Women who must stay silent in church. Yes, there are stories of empowerment in the Bible, yet in certain times and places, it's widely understood that the woman is less than the man. These theological teachings have made it difficult for survivors to leave abusive relationships, especially as these themes are sometimes reiterated in the counsel they seek from family and even faith leaders. Okay. Throughout the decades of abuse that she endured, Celie's faith evolved in the midst of survival and in her healing aftermath. Years after praying to this God that didn't speak back, she experienced God and the divine from within herself and in the witness of the sisterhood. Celie's faith in the midst of her survival was heavily impacted by the witness of women, especially Shug Avery. Shug Avery was an economically independent, socially liberated, queer, bisexual singer. She was desired by all the men, including Celie's husband. But Celie didn't mind at all because she was just as mesmerized by her. There was something she saw in Shug that spoke to her. Shug was also Celie's first experience of romantic love, something that was completely missing from her marriage. Their bond was friendship and it was romantic. The divine in Shug saw the divine in Celie, even though Celie couldn't see it in herself at the time. Shug affirmed the worth, dignity, and the divinity of Celie in her song, Celie's Blues. I will not attempt to sing it for you today, but I will recite it. Sister, you've been on my mind. Sister, we're two of a kind. So, sister, I'm keeping my eyes on you. I bet you think I don't know nothing but singing the blues. Oh, sister, have I got news for you? I'm something. And I hope you think that you're something too. Oh, shuffling, I've been up that lonesome road and I seen a lot of suns going down. Oh, but trust me, no low life's gonna run me around. So let me tell you something, sister. Remember your name. No twister gonna steal your stuff away. My sister, we sure ain't got a whole lot of time. So shake your shimmy, sister. Cause honey, the Shug is feeling fine. In the book, The Color Purple, Shug also changes Celie's perception of this silent God. The one that one doesn't find God in the man-made church building. Rather, God is within, in everything, and we bring God to the church. As Shug said, God is inside you and inside everybody else. You come into the world with God, but only them that search for God. And sometimes God just manifests itself even if you're not looking or don't even know what to look for. This is not far from our African spiritual cosmology. In the Igbo traditional religion, the creator god Chineke sliced itself into multiple pieces and put it into all of creation. That piece of the divine is called the chi, and we all have it within us. After decades of abuse, Seeley found the power within her, her full divine self, as she declared, "I'm poor, black, I may be ugly, but dear God, I'm here. I am here." Turn to your neighbor and say, "I'm here." Ashe. The world will tell us that we're washed up, we're used good, we're dumb, we can't think for ourselves. We see these messages everywhere, and in instances of domestic violence, these messages are also reverberated in our homes by those who are supposed to love us. But Seeley found herself. She saw the divine within, that no matter what Mr. said, no matter what the world said about her as a poor black woman in the South, Seeley knew what it says in Psalms 139. "I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full and well." Seeley was not the only person redeemed by this radical love displayed by Suge and the Sistren. There's more women in the story, but for the sake of brevity, I left it out, but you can get the book, the movie, and the remake to see all the other characters and how they play into this. So Seeley was not the only person redeemed by this radical love displayed by Suge and the Sistren. The liberation of Seeley led to the redemption of her husband, Mister. Seeley did not save Mister. She did not transform him. She did not pour into him with the hopes that he would eventually change. The best form of accountability that Seeley gave to Mister was leaving him. And she had the support of her sistren and Shug's husband to make this life change. Mister had to sit with himself at his home, as his home fell apart and everything around him crumbled. Mister had to sit and reflect, hold himself to account for his abuse of Seeley for these decades. That is the point at which he began to change his ways and live with the consequences of his behavior. Dear God, dear stars, dear trees, dear sky, dear peoples, dear everything, dear God. A liberated Seeley cried out to a previously invisible divine that made itself present in the love of others and herself. As she experienced the divine outside the church in the people who loved and encouraged her in nature and within herself. Our faith is dynamic. The same applies for those surviving and healing from domestic violence. Our faith can evolve, change, or get lost in the midst of survivorship and healing. But despite all of this, know this, the divine is big enough to handle all of it. The divine is not angry or upset at our questions, at our doubt, at our changing theologies and beliefs, as we evolve and throw away teachings that no longer serve us, as we get clarification on the accurate interpretations of sacred texts that are often manipulated to justify abuse. The I am that I am, the whispers in the trees, the peace in the storm, the almighty comfort. Yes, that divinity can handle our spiritual disconnect, our disbelief, our disappointment, and the feelings that they abandoned us. The divine can handle us seeing them in a different way than we saw them before. The divine can handle us putting away theology that doesn't serve us, edify us, and oppresses and holds us down. The divine can handle it. It's humankind that struggles with these things, you know. God stands for justice, for peace, for our well-being, that we are healthy and whole, that abuse and domestic violence is not the love molded by the Most High Creator, nor is it what they created for our lives. So I just want to leave this with you today for anyone who is in the midst of surviving, who has left, who is in your healing, that the Most High sees you, and that that love can be expressed in many places as Celia's found it. And I also want to impress upon us, people of God, to remember that it's this light within us that we are called to share with others. So we could be that Shug, we could be that Sophia, and all the other characters who are shining their light on to Celia in the midst of surviving. So I thank you all for listening as I share with you today. Ashe and amen.